Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
What the f*** is going on?
I like to party.
Jesus, honey, wax much?
From Podcast One, this is Unwaxed.
Get in, loser, we're going shopping.
With Sophia and Sistine Stallone.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Unwaxed Podcast.
With your favorite sisters, Sophia and Sistine Stallone.
You guys, happy freaking New Year. I know I keep saying that for every episode, but like, the time frame of these uploading is kind of confusing me.
A little bit, but this is coming out soon. And we had a really fun New Year's. We were with family. We were in Florida.
Yes.
Wow.
Our parents were in Florida. Oh my God, stop making...
Yeah, you're stressing me out, right?
We have someone off camera who we're going to bring in. He's making a face at us right now. We were in Florida to visit our parents. Lovely.
It was fun.
Lovely.
It was great.
You guys know, if you're a true listener, the true struggle that we have with finding men today. Let me just tell you, these Florida bred men,
there was not a shortage of those men.
We sound like the most desperate okay girls ever. No, this is so funny. So Sophia and I, we're very big into exercise, right?
Yes.
We love to go on our daily walks. We're walking along one day in Florida, just enjoying the humidity.
You see the ocean. It looks great.
It's beautiful. The gorgeous specimens passing us by, all running, all athletic.
To my right, to my left,
you guys,
constantly.
Sophia and I are full-blown runners now.
I have had many shin splints, and I don't care. I'll keep going.
I hate running.
And now
I run simply so I can meet cute a guy.
You want to hear something funny? I told Sistine this. I was on one of my runs, kind of. I was run-walking because I was getting winded, and a guy kept passing me on the bike. And he tagged me in a video when I got home saying hi. So he recognized, which is kind of odd. He recognized me.
I'd like to touch on that. I think that's really creepy. I think that's creepy. A stranger passes you by.
Yes.
You guys don't even talk.
No.
He knows who
you are.
We're
just giving each other eye contact.
No, but he takes a video of the walk and then tags you in it.
Because he wanted me to know who he was.
That's creepy.
Was it?
I think a little bit.
I think it was a meet cute, and it could have worked, but you're not my type, sorry.
So we're back in LA, as you can tell by our home studio. And Sophia, you guys know I'm not really big into The Bachelor. Never really been a huge fan.
Sophia's, I've always been a big Bachelor person, and I have finally converted her.
Not only converted me, but converted our little special guest off camera.
Who is now our roommate.
You guys, we've been talking about moving out.
Yes.
We've been talking about having a new roommate. This is it. His name is Ryan.
He is from
Denver,
cousin.
Colorado. He is our cousin. He is 6'3".
Three.
Come on in, Ryan.
Come on in, Come on.
All right.
Ryan?
Yes.
Did I make you watch The Bachelor with us the other night?
Yes.
Do you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay, so we now have a new Monday night tradition. Mm-hmm. Sophia, Ryan, I, cigars, wine, bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we talk about our findings from the intro a little bit?
From the intro? Oh, with the girls that came in?
Yeah.
Okay, I think we realized that dresses do matter in terms of what color they are, right?
Which one was your favorite, Ryan? The intro of the girls walking in.
I like a girl in a white dress.
Oh!
Because it reminds you of...
Like a wedding. A wedding.
Did you like any of the crazy intros that they did?
One girl brought a vibrator.
Oh,
that was funny.
That was funny.
The lingerie was funny.
The lingerie.
Oh,
that was
lingerie.
A good one. We did say that was a genius one.
Because then the guy got to choose like what dress he wanted his ear in.
Yeah, that's good. Is that too quick too soon?
Definitely caught his attention.
And Dick has, did she stay?
Yeah, she did.
She stayed.
Oh, she said you know.
That's who you know.
I would pick him too.
Here we go.
We're excited because pretty soon all three of us are we're currently looking for places. It's been kind of a hassle looking for an apartment because, you know, it's during quarantine. It is I think things are not really...
Can we talk about how handsome Ryan looks right now?
It's changing
business professional.
Why don't you talk about what you do, Ryan?
I'm an insurance broker. It's pretty
here
good.
We go.
Woo! Some serious stuff. The insurance, let me know.
Ryan, thank you for coming on.
Thank you guys for having me.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay, so Sophia and I, again, we're going to reiterate, we love to do our unsolicited advice segment. I'm going to just, you know, recap, or why don't you do it for me? Recap of how people can get their questions answered.
So you guys, if you want questions answered from us, you have to go to the ratings and review section on Apple Podcasts, give us that 5-star and write the question there. We will not answer anything if it's from our DMs. We do answer DMs when it's positive comments saying we love your show and stuff. Because I heard people saying, I read some of the comments going like, oh, like we DM you, you don't respond to our questions. You guys, ratings and reviews. That's the only place we'll do it. Because we also love reading your questions as well.
So hold on, I'd like to say, I think I answer quite a good amount of DMs. Someone will ask me for my lipstick combo, I'll answer.
Yeah.
I mean, I answer. I think I do a pretty good
job. Someone asked me on a date, didn't answer it, but I do appreciate the confidence.
You guys will absolutely love the guest that we have on today.
I went to USC with her, but she has thrived in the space of mental health and confidence and body image. And she is on every platform. She's on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. Yeah. Like, it really just goes on.
This conversation was so cool. It was all about, you know, the beauty standards today. It's all about Instagram and Facetune.
But also, Sistine and I get pretty personal about some of the insecurities and things we've gone through. So we hope you stick around and listen. Stay tuned.
Happy New Year, everyone. Let's start 2021 on the right foot. And I feel like the only way to properly start a new year is with chocolate. I don't know about you. Now you can get the gift of fun combined with just a hint of payback, because what is sweeter than revenge?
Nothing in the world is better than being right. I know Sistine has told me 100 times when I'm doing something wrong, she'll say, I told you so. So instead of saying it to my face like she usually does, why doesn't she just send me a box of chocolates that say, I told you so's? And every time you end up saying, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so, now you actually can with a box of I told you so's. So seriously, go online and order it at itoldyousos.com.
So I told you so's are 100% premium Belgium chocolate gifts that are delightfully packaged and engraved with the super snarky quote, I told you so logo. So I can remind people like Sophia that I was right. We are talking the highest quality, most decadent chocolate on the planet. And let me just tell you, that's 100% right. They sent us a box and oh my God, it was gone by the morning.
And you guys, remember, it's funny. You'll smile. You won't feel as bad when you get a box of I told you so's because you'll create a memorable moment with them. So not to mention, they are delicious, as Sistine last said.
They're available in milk and dark chocolate. They come in a 9-piece, 19-piece, 45-piece, or if you really want to rub it in someone's face, you can get the freaking huge 1-pound combo bar, baby, for one real chocolate lover on your list. Revenge never tasted so sweet.
So you guys, tell us your best I told you so moment and tag us on Instagram with your most satisfying I told you so story and add hashtag I told you so. We will pick your favorite moment and give you a free box of chocolate. Come on.
Wow. I want this. Okay. Here's the call to action. Order your online at itoldyoushows.com and they'll ship safely and securely direct to your door for your loved one. And of course, you can add the fun note to stick it to them. For New Year's, everything is 20% off plus free shipping. Order online at itoldyoushows.com, use promo code STALLONE, STALLONE, and get an extra 10% off. You're welcome. You save a total of 30% off. Start 2021 with the gift of fun. Give a super fun chocolate gift with just a hint of friendly payback. I told you so's. Order online at itoldyoushows.com and use promo code STALLONE. Order now at itoldyoushows.com.
So you guys, order now at itoldyoushows.com. It is itoldyoushows.com.
They just say I'm not the baddest bitch you like.
Other than being one of the sweetest humans alive, this former USC Division I athlete has become a leader and the mental health and body image advocacy space. She speaks at colleges across the country, hosts her amazing podcast, Real Pod, and is the founder of a student athlete organization destigmatizing mental health. It is called The Hidden Opponent. That's just the surface of it. Yeah. And she's killing it on TikTok.
Hey, hey!
Victoria Garrison. To bring that up, because I remember the last time I saw, or when we were at the beach like months and months ago, you're like, I gotta be TikTok famous.
Well, that was when it was like, I was just getting into it. And it's like that craving for like a viral video. It's yes. So fun because you never know what's going to hit. But that was such a great intro, Sophia. I need you to record that as my alarm in the morning.
Oh my gosh,
that's my alarm. Love to ring tone everything in your life.
Honestly, how great would that be? Just have a really big motivation, like speech to wake up to every day. Like, you're the best, you're the hottest, you're like, the strongest.
You do you.
It's so funny you say that because I made my alarm sound for like the past month, Superwoman by Alicia Keys, because I was like, okay, this is just going to be the best vibes ever. But it ends up, anything you make your alarm, you end up not liking. Because I would just hear the like,
yeah.
Da, 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 da. I would hear the piano music and it like was now negativity. So it's tough to find that.
I totally agree.
Wait, that's so smart though. We have to figure out some sort of alarm in our life that just reminds us that you are a superwoman.
That could be a good business idea. Like an alarm that changes every morning and it's just like a motivation alarm.
Yeah, because if you get used to the sound you're waking up to, you automatically despise it. So
yeah, and then you don't want to get out of bed.
Count me in as an investor.
Perfect. Let's do it.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
I mean, you would, if anybody, I'd have you join because you've literally, I was saying to Sistine, I have never seen someone that works honestly harder than you. And I know you sometimes like go, oh, like me. No, you seriously have done so much. Like, I remember in college when you were starting out this kind of journey that I almost kind of, I don't say you fell into it. Did you kind of like fall into this whole, because I remember not whole, like the whole space of it, because you'd post little things here and there of like being a bit more real and authentic.
Yeah, I would love for, if you could give like a little spiel to our listeners, like how did you start and what exactly you are pushing to promote today?
Definitely. I'm happy to give the spiel, and you were definitely onto it with kind of what you just said. I kind of fell into all of this super organically. You know, there was never a moment where I was like, how do I build a social media platform and become self-employed and like build a brand? Never happened for me. Basically, I went to USC just thinking like, I'm going to be a sports reporter. Like I'm going to be an Anna Bird classic, like, you know, USC Anna Bird girl.
same here. <fine. laughs>
Yeah. Nothing wrong with it, you know, but like there's a lot of us. And I just quickly really started to struggle, whether it was like developing anxiety due to volleyball or just the body image pressures I felt attending USC. I don't know if you guys can relate to that. Everyone on the campus. Yeah.
We'll talk about that because we definitely want to bring that up.
Yeah.
It's tense. And so I just started to really not be doing well at all. And at the same time, I was kind of putting up this facade on my Instagram that I was great and I was looking great and life was good. And the long story short is, I got to a place that was so kind of rock bottom for me with depression and just everything I'd been going through that I kind of realized, you know, how is no one talking about this? And I started, I kind of started to see like a lot of my friends are also not well, and we all post these pictures and we all act like it's okay. And I kind of, once I started to see a therapist and get help and get better, I felt like confident enough to be like, this is not okay. You know, how did this happen to me? How has this happened to other people? And, you know, want to talk about it. It's so stigmatized. And that's what kind of inspired me to deliver a TED talk at USC. And from that point on is when like things really changed. I didn't think much of the TED talk, obviously. Okay. That's a lie. I thought much of it.
But come on. That was honestly, when we all heard on campus genuinely like that you did a TED talk,
that's insane.
Whoa, this girl's legit. It was so cool.
I definitely knew that was like a significant deal, but you have no idea. I mean, I knew the act of giving the talk was a big deal. It was months of prep and I was really passionate about it. But then you wait like 2 months for it to go on YouTube. Like to me, it felt over. Like I spoke my word. But then it gets uploaded to YouTube and then it starts getting views and I start getting messages. And I just kind of, and I had already been kind of doing this thing I called hashtag real post, which at the time was a joke. Like I was posting, just I call it like my, it was my Britney 2007 like moment, you know, like I, people were looking at my Instagram like concerned and I was like, well, this is just the new me.
It's just that you look at girls at USC or just even in college in general and they don't post like instantly randomly stuff like real posts ever.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll get into that a little bit more, but yeah, you had to be like positive Britney 2007.
It's not even clever, like real posts. Like it's like, so at the time I was just like solo, like real posts. And then people started coming to my page from the TED Talk. I had also written this article on body image, which the body image article was like a one-off. A professor was like, will you write an article about Title IX? And I sat down to write it. And I was like, I don't, I was like, this doesn't feel real to me. I'm dying to write about how I hate my body. Can I do that?
Can I just like talk about how much like I have like insecurities and stuff? Just like be
well. Sometimes it's easier to talk about what you don't like about yourself.
Well, she asked me to write an article about female athletes, like something for Women in Sports Day, and she gave me the subject of Title IX, which is so important. But I was dying to write a different story, which is the female athlete body image issues I'd experienced. So I just wrote that instead, and that went viral, and then like people started coming to my Instagram, and this is not like viral in the sense of overnight sensation, not at all, but just like very slowly trickling in.
Yeah,
and so I went from 100 likes to 150. And so I just started like, well, I have more to say and I have more to share. And so I just kind of kept posting, and then senior year, someone asked me to speak somewhere and just kind of went on from there.
History. I know. And then you launched your podcast where you talk to athletes, doctors, kind of anybody. I was on it for a bit. I don't even know how. I was like so nervous to be on it. But being really real, and a lot of girls and guys can relate to you. And I feel like the talk about body image, self-love, mental health, it's so still not talked about enough.
Yeah.
And I feel like people, it's really hard for people to open up about it. But I know Sistine wanted to bring up something.
When did you, so you started feeling these body insecurities around college? Was it the perfect storm between seeing all the girls at USC have these like perfect zero frames and also being a college athlete where you're told you must lift this much and you must gain this much weight and you must, you know, eat this many calories? Was it sort of just like the perfect storm of all of it that you were like, this isn't what I want to look like?
Yes, definitely. It was a perfect storm. I also have to say, growing up, I definitely had body image issues and problems with food. But, and this is all this, like, I, and using the word trauma for me, it's always hard for me to use that word because you think of other people's trauma and you're like, well, I can't call this trauma and my privileged white life. Like, you know, so I hesitate to use that word, but there were things like growing up where I was like, you know, really struggling with food or on like these really harmful forums. And I was obsessed with being in. And at the time I thought that was totally normal. I was like, oh, it's normal that I'm 14 and I'm having a slim, quick shake for lunch. But then you grow up and you're like,
that's
not normal. Yeah. And I think I had grown up kind of with disordered eating habits. I counted the calories, but I had like been able to maintain. And it's kind of like, once I got to USC, my regimen was so different. I was working out every single day. I was hungrier. I was not able to do the little diet things I did in high school that just like.
Totally.
Hurt. Yeah.
Totally.
And so it was that, it was the storm of like the pressure of USC, the two different body types I felt like I had to have, right? There's the beauty standard, the one we see in like mainstream social media. And then there's the body type of female athletes, which are just polar opposite. I didn't know where I fell. And I was also really struggling to monitor how much I was eating, my appetite. And I had all this like internalized, you know, fat phobia and disordered habits that were affecting my choices.
I feel like that's kind of something that we've also related to. I know you were in the modeling industry.
Well, I just wanted to like touch on that because I feel exactly what you had felt, or I did feel exactly what you had felt, because when I moved to New York to model, I was like, okay, everyone around me is way skinnier. And I thought I was already skinny. And my agents were like, well, you need to lose weight to get the job. So I was like, okay, they know better. What do I know? I'm just a 19-year-old kid. And so I did. And I realized that that was my darkest time. I was the most unhappy. But also, you know, you growing up, you know, drinking the slim, quick shakes and whatever, and having to force yourself to eat like an athlete, it's like mentally, it's really hard. Because when I was moving back to LA, I was like, oh my God, now I have to train myself to eat like a normal human being again. And making that transition was really, really tough. So at what point did you say, you know what, like, fuck it. Like, I don't care what anyone thinks about my frame. I'm going to do what I want. Was that in college?
Yes. Well, okay. So I have two things. So I have a thought on what you just said, because first of all, I think it's so cool that you both are hosting this conversation. I think that's a big deal, and you guys might think it's not, but it is a big deal because there's so many girls and women who follow you guys and look up to you. And I really appreciate like how candid you guys are, both of you.
Thank you. We're same for you.
Thanks. And yeah, the judgment. So like Sistine, you mentioned like the portion or like what, how much you're eating. I mean, you grow up looking at like a guy's plate or like what is too much or what a serving size is. Like the nutritionist scars you with a cup of pasta, a cup of carbs.
I know, it's like you're measuring.
Yeah, you're all like, I know. And so then I'm like, whoa, I feel like eating 4 cups of carbs after that 5-set game against Stanford. And then I'm judging myself. I'm like, why am I eating so much food? So that definitely resonates. And then in terms of like when things changed for me, it definitely was not an overnight thing at all. I would say the first thing that I really had to change was my relationship with food. And that for me started around sophomore spring into junior year. I started intuitive eating. And that's basically an approach to food that includes rational thought, your emotions, satisfaction into choices about what you want to eat. And that was just mind-blowing for me, coming from years of diet culture where it was never about what I wanted to eat. It was always about, well, how many calories, how many carbs,
right?
Or like what's feminine, what's not. So the thought of, I remember there's a sentence in this book I read and it said, it doesn't matter if an egg white is 60 calories or 70, do you want an egg white? And I was like,
no, who wants an egg white? I'm sorry.
That's not even the question you ask yourself, you know, like it was always about eating. So I started to kind of approach food with, okay, well, what's going to make me feel good? And if I can have everything, I'm not going to feel this need to binge, you know, the chips at night, which is a problem.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
that started naturally. And then I think I slowly started to really appreciate my female athlete body. Like I got to a point where I like loved lifting heavy and I saw that my body was an instrument for me and it wasn't just about it being an ornament. And I slowly shifted my focus and it definitely takes, you know, hard work and reps and it's about what you surround yourself with and the content you consume. But, you know, I'd say gradually, and by the time I think I was a senior, I was like really confident with any of the insecurities that I would have been mortified to post freshman year.
Yeah. Well, touching on confident, did you feel like when you started oozing this confidence from inside you that others around you started to believe it too? Because sometimes, you know, I'll like fake it and I'll pretend like I'm confident, but I really feel insecure. And then when I find that people gravitate the most towards me is when it's coming out genuinely. So when you started to fully accept yourself, did you see a switch in sort of your peers around you?
Yeah. I mean, I think the craziest thing is me being honest about my mental health and that I wasn't okay is the reason I've been able to build a platform community that is there today. And it's just so interesting to think about like the moment I started being true to myself and, you know, posting things that were real, that resonated with people. And then I almost felt like more loved and accepted. And I heard this really cool thing said on a Dax Shepard's podcast once, but he was saying how when we're vulnerable and we talk about our insecurities or things that aren't well in our life, you know, you can relate because everyone's suffered and everyone's been through things like that. So when I say I'm not okay, someone can say, oh, well, I haven't been okay either. Whereas if I say, oh my gosh, you know, we won a Pac-12 championship, no one can say, oh yeah, well, I did that too. Like your are not how you're going to connect with others. It's being vulnerable and honest about, I think, what you're going through. And it's so interesting to see celebrities who like, you know, once in a blue moon, a celebrity will do like what I would call a real post, right? Like a no filter and a long caption. And that always has the most engagement.
It's
funny. Have you ever seen Love Island? Show? Okay. So one of the girls, Maura, I saw her post this like a couple weeks ago and she has a pretty thin frame. And on social media, she posted her post food baby, basically like her belly bloat, which we all have. And like, I definitely think we all have felt insecure about it. Like, why do we feel like so much bigger, but it's so normal. So she posted it and she literally posted it again saying she got thousands and thousands and thousands of responses from girls saying, thank you so much for showing me that you too, who has a size 0 frame, gets this giant belly bloat that we all get. And I think that that's the problem is that a lot of people need that more. I think a lot of people that do
they need the realness.
I think, yeah, I think especially people that are followed. And I know that I need to start doing that sometimes.
Well, I want to praise you and your Instagram. You guys definitely need to follow Victoria on Instagram, because what I loved, I mean, I was stalking you hard. I will admit that proudly. What I loved about your Instagram was that in this perfectly filtered, edited world, not only did you post your Facetune version, but you posted the real version. And then you also had a caption along with it. And then, I mean, it was so nice to see something that was just not touched, you authentically getting the same amount of love that you probably, real love probably, than you would have gotten if you had touched it.
Yeah. And the thing is too, if people aren't ready to reveal their insecurities, like I don't need people to show off or show that they have roles or they have stretch marks if they're not comfortable with it yet, but at least don't post things acting like you don't have that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
Like if you're not in a place where you can delete your Facetune, that's fine. I get it. It's the patriarchy, like you're brainwashed. I don't blame you. But if you have to Facetune a picture to post it, pick a different picture, because then you're contributing.
I totally agree with that. Because there are times I've looked at a photo where I'm like, okay, this is actually a pretty good photo. I put it on Facetune. And then I go almost too ham on it, where I look at it, I'm like, I don't look like the same person. I went so in it with the details and the angling.
There has to be some sort of
like reveal button, and you're like,
what? Like the before and after. It's just
it actually makes me feel worse about myself, because I was just going to touch on that.
Like there must, it has to be associated with you feeling even more like shit, because if you're having to alter the way you want to look in every single picture, I mean, long term, that's going to affect someone's mental health.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, it affects the way you see yourself. And I mean, I had a point in my life where nothing didn't go through Facetune before I went to my Instagram. Like everything did. To the point where like family pictures, I needed like my dad to send me the one file that we were going to post, and like I had to edit it first. Like just insane. Mm-hmm. And you know, to anyone who's going through that, like I just think if you're not ready to delete the app, just slowly start by trying to only upload pictures where you don't need to do the retouch, and just slowly, it's baby steps. And I don't like to berate or tease anyone who does Facetune, because it's just insecurity. Like
it's true.
Khloe Kardashian photos, it's just like, I saw someone say how we shouldn't bully her and, you know, condemn her for what she's doing. Obviously it's not right, but she's also been called ugly sister and she's been bullied for years. Like the fact that maybe she wants to tune her face here and there.
Totally.
So, you know, it's just, I think baby steps is the best way to start kind of.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I remember when Instagram first came out, I think it was 15, and Facetune came right after that. I mean, I remember I would smooth my face so much that the filter camera looked out of focus. I remember that. But then baby steps, you're so right. I don't use Facetune now. If I have a blemish, I'll take it out, because I'm not proud of that blemish. I don't want people to see a blemish. But I used to really, you know, I would post a photo or take a photo and I'm like, oh my God, I hate the way my arm looks huge in this picture. But then I realized, I'd go to bed thinking, no one is going to wake up the next day that saw my picture and is going to say, yeah, Sistine's arm looked pretty chunky. And that, like, no one's going to. Yeah. So you're right. Baby steps. It's always like all about kind of reminding yourself that do what makes you feel good and don't post for the satisfaction of other people.
Yeah. And along with that too, is like, you know, you mentioned the chunky arm. Like I've really tried to take those steps of like, well, what's wrong with a chunky arm? Like, you know, what's wrong with stretch marks or cellulite? And just kind of questioning who and where down the line dictated that we had to have perfectly smooth skin and that one size body was socially acceptable and another one isn't. Really changing the people I follow online. I want to say the majority of people I see on my feed are of all different body types. And it's really just uplifting to see that content and start to kind of work on that beauty standard that has been ingrained in us for a long
time. Oh my God. I'm so glad you said that, because I wanted to touch on this upon me stalking you like a creep last night. You posted a picture and it was a photo of a model in a bikini with the caption, "This picture makes me feel bad about my body," versus a picture of a beautiful sized woman. And you said, "This picture makes me feel like my body's enough." And then you wrote, notice who you choose to follow and how their content makes you feel. And I could not agree with that more, because when I was feeling really down about myself, my mom told me, she goes, Sistine, unfollow all of these Victoria's Secret models that you're trying to be, all of these, you know, Kendall Jenners, it's like, it's not going to happen. Yeah. And that's okay. So do you think that's a way for people to sort of, you know, out of sight, out of mind, is that they should just unfollow girls that make them feel bad internally?
Definitely. I think, you know, you have to curate a feed that's uplifting. You know, I think the important thing to mention along with that story is I did have some people being like, you know, it's not like everyone has the right to post a picture of their body.
Yeah.
But you also have the right, if there's certain content that brings up old emotions for you or is triggering, that you don't have to follow it. Right. So I think that's super important. And then something else, I just had a good point. What was it? Sistine, you said you were, I looked, what was it?
That I unfollow people?
Oh yeah, no, I thought of it. So you mentioned the Victoria's Secret models, which just like hits such a bell for me. I mean, I couldn't, this is so embarrassing. When I was 15, legit, all the angels, their heights, their waist measurements, who was wearing the fantasy bra, like I knew it all.
Oh yeah, me. Mm-hmm. Literally. By the way, I tried out for them. That's how much I wanted it. I mean,
yeah.
Did I get it? Yeah. No, but that's okay.
It's okay. I really, yeah, I think that's probably for the best. And honestly, one of the bigger things I realized too that really helped me kind of accept just who I am is I think we as females are like kind of put in this race or this wheel to like become the prettiest. And we've seen this in like Snow White, you know, who's the fairest of them all? Like growing up, it's always who's the most pretty. I mean, reading the Twilight books and the way they described Rosalie Cullen, I was like, I want to rock into a lunch cafeteria and have everyone look at me because I'm
with the wind blowing in your hair.
Yeah, way we see beauty portrayed. And I kind of got to questioning. It's like, that isn't real. There's not a person who we unanimously agree is the most beautiful. You name a girl and someone else says, nope, it's her. Nope, not the type for me. Nope, I don't like the eye. Whatever it is, no one's agreeing. And so when you kind of realize like there's not a body type, face, lip size, hair color that you could get to where everyone's going to be like, you're the most beautiful. I mean, it doesn't exist.
No, everyone has their own type. I mean, you look at everyone has like their own person that they are attracted to or a look that they are more into, but it's all about just almost, I mean, not perfecting, but really being the best version of yourself. You can be the healthiest version, the happiest version, because I know you also wrote one time like about happiness doesn't equal success, or it was something about that. Could you like talk about that a bit more?
I was basically really struggling a few weeks ago with this need to achieve. Sometimes I get caught up with people who are doing things similarly to me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, well, am I not doing enough? Is mine not as great as theirs, getting as many follows or listens? And it's just, it is superficial. And, you know, but I say it out loud because I think it's common things that we all struggle with is that need for more. And you lose sight of like what's really important. And basically what I was trying to say in that caption was, it's okay to strive for achievement, right? It's okay to push yourself to be better, but you can't not allow yourself to be happy now. You can't say the happiness only starts when I get XYZ. The happiness has to start now, and cool, you can try to get XYZ, but you got to be happy with or without it.
And I completely agree with that, because I know that even sometimes we're like, are we at the right place in our life? Like, are we supposed to be like, I follow really like sometimes successful people that are younger, just entrepreneurs. I'm like, oh my God, they are working all the time. They're making so much money. They're traveling the world and they're so young. Am I doing enough? And I get really hard on myself. And you realize everyone has their timeline. No one is on a certain path all at the same time. Like no one is behind, no one is farther. I mean, it's obviously the time you put into it. Yeah. It's where you are in life. Like you could have a different circumstance than someone else. But in the end, like where you are 10 years from now won't make you feel better than how you feel now. It's all going to be the same. It's just really kind of manifesting and working towards feeling the best at that moment.
Yeah, we pick at different times. And also another thing that's been really helpful with dealing with those similar thoughts is there's room for everyone. Yeah. We think that if one girl does X, that no one else can do that ever. And There's just tons of different creators. There's tons of different podcasts. There's tons of different influencers and nonprofits and organizations and TV shows and for people who have all different things to say and share. And, you know, even when people talk about getting into the podcast industry or starting to build their brand, like it's never too late. I think there's room for everyone. And that's why I think it's been really cool to see, especially women working together and empowering each other. I certainly came into USU with a bit more of a like, I'm going to feed myself before I feed someone else. And it's completely for me by the people who've helped me and really shown me that way.
Can I also just commend you for being so honest and vulnerable, especially on social media? Like, going along the lines, even just about like mental health, I remember you posted something like a couple of days ago of you just like, I think tearing up or crying about something. And you're just like, this is how I'm feeling right now.
TikTok?
Yeah, it was like TikTok or something. You were just like upset. And I'm like, oh my God, the things I post on social media, 99% of the time I'm not like
that.
It's
just like fluffy.
It's fluffy. It's highlight reel. It's not my actual.
Right. You have to be nice to yourself, you guys, because not everyone has to post. You don't have to share. I guess something I always tell people is you don't have to tell the world your mental health story if that's not your healing journey.
Yeah,
you know? You know, don't beat yourself up about like, oh, I'm not able to post my most insecure picture. I mean, I know.
But it was funny because you even posted something that I was laughing about. You're like, it was like 7 o'clock in the morning. You're like this, like,
was it the yawn? Because I had 10 seconds of being like, this is actually Hideous. I cannot post this. And I was like, fuck it.
So she goes, fuck it.
I was like, oh my, because the thing is, I was thinking about myself, but I know you're totally right. Like, if I don't want to post about my anxieties and stuff, I don't have to. But I do realize that the more I do talk about things that I am insecure about or am worried about, I get a lot of responses. They're very positive.
I would love to touch on the responses. Yeah. How has the feedback been since you've posted your yawns and your crying moments? I mean, did you lose some following because of it, or did it just skyrocket a whole new audience for you?
Well, this is like rewinding back to the very beginning. I certainly definitely was not getting likes. I mean, we're talking like I had 3,000 followers on Instagram, just a normal college girl. And, you know, of course you go from posting like your bikini pictures to, like I said, my just, you know, real posts. Coffee shop, trees outside. Like I went total 0 to 100. Of course, those weren't getting likes or comments. And like I said, people were like, this is kind of weird. What's wrong with Victoria?
Because everyone at USC is like posting them at game day in their little outfits all the time. I mean, like, that's what it is. Like, off the rail.
You know what was crazy about this? Have you guys ever been, like, let's talk game day. Like, have you ever gone to an event where you could not be happy until you got the gram? Like, I'm talking, you could not even enjoy the event.
Yeah.
And talking about events in general, like, we've had times where we've had to sit down in a chair for, like, 3 hours with hair and makeup.
I'll take it a step further. I'll be upset if I'm wearing a cute outfit and I couldn't just to go nowhere. And I couldn't get a photo. I'm like, my day is ruined.
Right? I trained so hard.
No, I had no idea. I was just like, I didn't even enjoy the game day because I was like, I haven't gotten the picture. And every party went, I was like making my friend take hundreds of pictures of me. And then that was an obsession to me. Like, I couldn't even enjoy. So I started to be like, I'm going to dress up really cute. I'm going to feel myself.
Right.
And I'm not getting a picture tonight.
Yeah.
You are lucky if you get to witness me in the flesh. This is not being documented.
If it's live, that is it.
I'll get the full show.
I had to really, like, that addiction to the perfect Instagram was real for me at the time.
Right. No, it really is. And sometimes we get caught in that wave. And honestly,
I would say sometimes today I am still addicted to the good Instagram, and then I have to smack myself out of it.
But you know what?
Who cares?
It's really, I think one important thing that people need to remember is to kind of self-check, because there's so many habits that I used to do in the past. I was like, even with food, I would not have something because I know, okay, an apple is 80 calories. This is this many calories. Mm. Like, I'd start to calorie count. I'm like, wait a minute, why am I doing that? And then I had to rewind, take a snack. I'm like, I'm having that apple. Or the photo, over-editing. I'm like, I don't need to do that. Or that's why I love disposable cameras. You can't touch them. Like, unless you upload it and then you do it. But like, there are times where we need to go back and go, okay, let's enjoy the moment. Let's have fun at game day. Like, we only have 4 years of this, like less.
Drink a beer, get the belly full. Yeah, it's okay. Fun. Life will go on.
And that's, I think that's the point of life, is just enjoy it. Enjoy your body. Yeah. Enjoy that photo, the time with your friends. Like, don't overanalyze it and be so hard on yourself, because everyone else is feeling the exact same way. If someone isn't feeling like that, please let me know how it's happening.
If you are to scroll back on your Instagram when you're 70, which is so weird to think about, unless we all are like, you know,
it's true.
Victoria Garrick 40 plus account. Like, I don't know, do you switch accounts when?
Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
But like when
the 30, 50, whatever it's called, like changing it up.
When you scroll back, I mean, I just remember looking at my feed and then looking at my life and being like, these are two completely different things. And I don't want to, like, I haven't documented the truth. And, you know, just thinking about the moments that really are going to matter to you and the pictures that really matter to you. And, you know, just, I remember thinking about, like, I didn't ever post with family members or like my yaya because I didn't look good in the picture. And it's just so, like, you know,
it's so ridiculous.
It's so silly, but it's good that we're having these conversations now and we're all still really young. And I hope a lot of people out there can, you know, start to do it today, because at the end of the day, it's like, we only have one life. Don't stress about what an Instagram looks like.
They may look at you and they may think, okay, Victoria had, like, it's from two different sides. They may look at us who don't talk about body image or mental health that often, be like, oh, they have it all together. Yeah. They're perfect. And they may look at you and go, she's so open about it. And she's so herself that she has it all together. It's Dave. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're both in the same position.
There's no happy medium.
There's no like this, no,
that's
extremes.
Why I'm so excited to have this conversation with you guys, because, you know, it is really cool to hear. And it's so funny that, like, we ran in similar circles at USC, but we never really crossed paths until after graduation. Yeah. But even
from my best friend is dating your brother. That's how close.
I know. But even from the outside, like, looking in on someone's life, you just think, oh, well, they must have it all.
Yeah. And that's never the case. Well, our listeners asked a few questions, if you could so kindly answer, because they were really excited to have you on. So this one says, hi, Victoria. I am an athlete too, and I'm constantly having this battle with my head and my body. I want to have a petite frame / build, but I also train, lift, and eat like an athlete. What do you think is the best way for me to be okay with how I look and accept it? Love you.
Aw, love you too. Great question. You know, I think the biggest thing is really shifting your mentality to what your body is doing for you as opposed to how it looks for you. And, you know, there are actionable ways you can start to live that. You know, it's hard to just think, oh, I'm going to care more about my body does. But when I was a volleyball player and I had a very similar situation of, I want to look one way, but my body's changing, I made the adamant decision, I'm not going to look in our full body mirror in the locker room. I'm going to put on my spandex, I'm going to put on my shirt, and I'm just going to walk to the door and go up to the practice gym. X-nay on the 5-minute stare down at my leg and the gap and my butt looking flat, whatever it was. Just not going to do it, because that's not my priority anymore. And so, you know, my advice would be finding small ways to really start to appreciate what your body is doing for you and be prioritizing how it looks.
That's a great answer. I'll read the third one. Or awesome. I just started dating someone whose last girlfriend was thinner than me. I'm still insecure about my body when I'm around him. How can I let my guard down and be fully confident with who I am when I'm around him? Which I think is so funny, because I feel like I've had those same moments where I'm like, oh God, like, something doesn't feel good. He's going to notice it. And it just makes you feel sometimes less than when the guy really doesn't, I don't think, notice.
That's the thing is, I mean, it sounds like he's dating her. Sounds like you guys have a good relationship, right? She didn't say, like, he makes comments. So he, from what, you know, reading the room here, he loves you. He must think you're beautiful and he wants to be with you. And I think that, you know, should comfort you, that feeling of knowing. And I also think too, like, the comparisons to the ex-girlfriend and the amount of conversations that people have about the ex, like,
always
let that girl live.
Let her live.
Like, all the time I hear friends being like, oh my God, you see what his ex is doing? I'm like, you're dating him now. It's totally okay. You guys focus on you.
Oh my gosh.
I think, you know, that relationship must have ended for a reason. It's clear he wants to be with you. You know, and if ever it did get to a point where you felt like you wanted to have a conversation, I'm a huge believer in you need to have hard conversations with the people you're in a relationship with. And if you don't feel like you can have the conversation, maybe take a step back and question how far along this
could go. I told Sistine last night that I love your and Max's relationship just because of how, like, honestly open you guys are with each other.
I love it too. It's so cute.
No, it's great. Obviously I've hung out with you guys multiple times, like in person, and I can still see that it's like the same online as it is in person. But it really is something like I even strive towards, is being that comfortable with someone.
It's like genuine love with that person.
He loves you for you. He doesn't love you for anything else. Like, no matter who you are, like, he just loves your body, your mind, your kindness. It really is something to strive for in a relationship.
And I wish I could say, I mean, a lot of the initial growth I had with my relationship with myself was definitely totally me. But I would be lying if I said it wasn't a huge help to have a boyfriend who, like, doesn't care if you don't shave your legs and doesn't ever make comments on your, I mean, that said, Max knows it's, like, sensitive for me. So he would never, that's the thing. This is communication. Like, I've told him, you know, I never want him to say, like, if he says, what do you want for dinner? I'm getting chicken. And I say, oh, can you give me a pizza, a side of fries? I want the milkshake and I want this. Like, no comment. That's my order. You know, and so, because he knows that any sort of, like, wow, that's a lot of food, like, that's sensitive to me. Most of the time I don't even finish what I food, but my safety is having the option of the food.
That's so smart, because I just, like, had this thought right now, and there are so many people that say, and this is true, to be so confident in a relationship, pretend you have nothing wrong, like, you just own it. But we're human, and sometimes there are things in our body that does trigger. Like, I know that Sistine knows some of the things, if she says it to me or if I say it to her, it will, like, set us off, and it really does hurt our feelings more than maybe the other person. But that's the important thing in a relationship, is to honestly, if it's something that really does trigger you, say it.
Yeah.
You don't have to be 100% confident, strong.
I think it also has to do with the fear of, well, if they know what I really am like and know the kind of food I like, maybe they won't love me. So it's like canceling that idea.
That is it. Honestly, people say that if you have something you don't want others to know, it's because you feel that with that knowledge, you would no longer be worthy of love.
Totally. Oh my God. Well, Victoria, this conversation was so necessary. It was one of those conversations that, you know, every once in a while you need a tune up. I needed this tune up. I'm so excited for our listeners to, like, hear it and love you. And if the listeners out there for the Unwaxed podcast, if you guys want this conversation to continue, Victoria, plug where they can find your podcast, your socials, everything.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Well, I have really enjoyed this time. It's been so fun chatting with you guys. My Instagram is just Victoria Garrick. My podcast is called Real Pod, and you guys can stream my episode with Sophia. Sistine, we need to make a date.
Yes. Wait, put your TikTok.
Don't forget
my TikTok is Victoria Garrick 4.
There we go. Thank you so much for being honest and open and vulnerable with us.
I love you, Vic. Thank you so much.
You are so unwaxed. We love you.
Yes, you got really unwaxed today.
Oh my God. Well, thank you for coming on. We'll see you soon, hopefully.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
From all of us here at the show, thanks for staying unwaxed.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
Be sure to download new episodes every Tuesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or PodcastOne.com. Follow your hosts at Sophia Stallone and at Sistine Stallone. And be sure to follow the show at Unwaxed Podcast. Your producer is Will Sterling. We'll see you next week.
You can't control what's outside your home, but you can control what comes in. Because Clorox disinfecting wipes kill 99.9% of viruses and bacteria, including COVID-19 virus, when used as directed on hard, non-porous surfaces. So whether it's from dirty doorknobs, dirty shoes, or something else, outside germs won't stand a chance. When it counts, trust Clorox. Kill Pseudomonas, Salmonella, and Influenza virus type A2. Kill SARS-CoV-2 on hard, non-porous surfaces. Use as directed.
And now more Straight Talk from Straight Talk. The big wireless companies say they're the only way to get the best coverage.
Because they've got like a gajillion cell towers?
Something like that. But Straight Talk Wireless runs on those same towers, so you get the same great networks for up to 50% less.
I wonder if they're counting that one in Kickapoo, Kansas.
Oh boy. Switch today and get our unlimited plan for just $45 a month with 25 gigs at high speeds and no contract. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
Savings may vary. See StraightTalk.com.